I'm the field advisor for both the Wood River Wolf Project and then Lava Lake Land and Livestock.
And where is that? Is that in Idaho?
Yep, central Idaho in the Wood River Valley and near Craters of the Moon.
What do you think of this problem that they're having in North Park and Jackson County right now?
Well, you know, it's growing pains and a learning curve. There's a lot of producers all over the West that are living with the same kind of problem. So I think there's some answers out there. It's difficult because it's a new thing for the Gilsons and there's a big spotlight on them. And I feel kind of bad about what's going on. And, I think you just need to support those folks. And I listened to the interview, and Don sounds like a straightforward, level-headed guy, and I think they'll find some things that'll work for him.
And what are some things that'll work? You sent me some pictures. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so most of my experience is with sheep and sheep bands and wolves, but there's a lot of good things that are relatable to the cattle industry and night pinning and the fladry, a turbo fladry, which adds a electric component to the fladry line, will work real well. Night pinning the cows in a smaller area overnight with fladry probably would work really well. And then back in 2012 or 13, worked on ear tags that glow in the dark. So there's a lot of people working on the non-lethal components. Flashing ear tags, all kinds of good stuff out there. So I think the good people at CPW, Wildlife Services, and whoever else is working on it will, find something that'll work for the Gittlesons. Flattery is, it's a line of flags. They used it in Germany way back to actually hunt wolves because they would drive wolves and then use the flattery line to funnel them into an area where hunters were waiting to shoot them. So the natural instinct of wolves is to not cross that flattery line. It's, it's for whatever reason, they don't want to cross it. So you can use it to keep wolves out of an area as a barrier. And then the other component is turbo flattery, which you put electric fencer on the line and make it a hot wire. So. Yeah, that is, they will habituate to just about anything, but, generally 60 to 90 days, you can get good use out of it, and then you can rotate through a number of things like the fox lights and flattery, and, they're not really to be used really long-term. They're, short-term solutions. To get you 60 or 90 days farther into the season where, maybe something changes. The wolves will be, looking at denning somewhere and raising pups, and the cows will be getting ready to go out on other places. So, it's not really a super long-term solution, but it's a stopgap measure to, stop them from killing cows.
Is this how Idaho started with all the wolf issue, what we're going through?
It was a much slower thing, I think, because it was this is pretty condensed to one area. And, the wolves were reintroduced in some of the backcountry here. And I think it was just kind of a slower issue as far as how it developed. This seems to be like all at once for Colorado. You have wolves show up and then also now have, problems with them depredating livestock. So I think it's been a much quicker thing. I come from an agricultural background, and I understand the lifestyle, and I've done a lot of that type of work over my lifetime. And there's solutions out there. Here in the Wood River Valley, they, 25,000 sheep graze every summer on Forest Service allotments with, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 wolves, two different packs, with very little issues. And with Lava Lake Land and Livestock, we spent the entire season – last season with wolf presence and had zero depredation, zero loss. And so there's a lot of solutions out there that'll work. And, it's not all doom and gloom. And it seems that way in the beginning. But, there's a lot of people out there with doing good stuff and with good answers for them. So
why do you think there was zero loss with all the sheep and all the wolves?
We try to manage proactively with passive conflict mitigation tools. It's much easier to manage it before you have the conflict. So we use a system of herders and the livestock guardian dogs, and then we utilize fox lights and developed a heavy leather and Kevlar collar with a single blue flashing LED. And we had really good success with that this last season. So the wolves come in, they're one of the greatest risk-reward calculators on the planet. They'll come in and look at a situation and decide if the risk is worth the reward. And what it takes is, you know, making the sheep band or the cattle a bigger risk than the wolves are willing to take. So, yeah, on the front end, it's much easier to manage. Once you got a depredation, there's a lot of chaos and you know, a lot of emotions, and it becomes a much harder thing to manage. I mean, if you take all the political baggage and all the stuff we humans like to put on this type of issue, it's just wildlife management. I mean, and if you can prevent the conflict from ever happening, it's way easier on everybody, less stress for everybody. So one last thing is, the importance to keep all the conflict mitigation tools on the table. You know, I think lethal control is important to have as an option, and I hope they would consider that, because non-lethal tools are not the silver bullet, and in some cases won't work.